And welcome to Dice and a Slice, the only D&D 5e podcast powered by Baked Goods. My name is Joshua Gould. I am your Dungeon Master, and I'm hooked on a feeling.
This is such a bold energy to come in with.
I've been wanting to do that for such a long time, and I thought I'd just give in. I'm joined tonight by my own shame, as this early on in Season 2, I'm already giving my hard-earned money to Big Cake. I couldn't be bothered to do with baking and such today, and as such, I have bought a Mr. Kipling Angel Slice.
Oh, it's that Kipling cake.
Baby pink and daffodil yellow conglomerate of yellow vanilla sponge, topped with white and pink fondant.
They're so good, though.
It is so boring. I really wanted it to be great because you love them.
Do you not like it?
It's just so dull. And like, it tastes so synthetic.
those particular, the pink ones have like a weird space in my brain of like, they just scratch a very particular itch.
It's very specifically like, if you asked an AI to generate what cake tastes like, it's like, it's cake flavored.
See,
there's no soul, there's no spirit. I've paired it with water as a punishment to myself.
Well, hi, my name's Jazz. I play Skylar, and screw you, Josh, because I also have angel cake.
Oh, no!
Is it also the pink one?
No, it's Aldi's angel cake, so technically it's worse.
It's better because it's not Kipling.
You've got own brand big cake.
Yeah, but you know what? Aldi's cakes slap.
They do slap.
A lot of Aldi's stuff slaps. As someone who has never lived near an Aldi, so there've never been a shop that I can go into. Only very recently have I ever been into one, and they're great.
Yeah.
We have Aldi, like their crisps, their own brand crisps. I have their own brand oat milk. Mm-hmm. I'm on it. It's great.
Yeah, I love a bit of Aldi.
Alongside my angel cake, I also am having cheese twists with poppy seeds and guacamole.
Okay. I've so thought you were dunking
Jazz,
your cake in
Jazz,
that.
Jazz, when you said guacamole, me and Tom did the exact same physical reaction, which was like the physical personification of
No. I'm supplementing my sweet with my savory.
Okay.
And because I've also got some red wine on the go.
My God, Jazz, that is the most bizarre couple. Well, not even coupling.
Oh, really?
It's a very eclectic mix.
It's such a strange mix.
You think that red wine pairs weirdly with guacamole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think red wine pairs weirdly with angel.
No, it's red wine and cheese.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But then you put in the guacamole.
Where's the guacamole there? Just feels like a strange mix. And I'm here for it. You live your life, Jazz.
Who else wants abuse?
We've got a very hostile energy, haven't we?
Come and swing in. It's because I'm on the red wine.
Hello there. My name is Tom. I will be playing the currently Grody Brody. Bless him.
Yeah, Grody
and
Brody.
I am coming today with baklava. Ooh. Baklava, baklava, however you want to say it. It's from Moorish in the town of Norwich, and it is, I cannot stress this enough, it is immaculate.
Nice.
The amount of real good honey in that.
What is a baklava, sorry?
So it's basically phyllo pastry sheets, kind of layered one on top of each other.
Sure.
Then you get a layer of pistachio, then you get another tons of phyllo pastry sheets.
Oh, I think I've had one before. Josh, is that the thing you bought?
Oh, it's so good.
I didn't like it, did I?
Oh man, it's so good.
No.
You bake it for a very short amount of time, then you drizzle a bunch of honey over the top, and then you put it back in and bake it again for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. Go try it.
Yeah, Josh bought me one, but I just found it was so syrupy. I'm not a pistachio person either. And I thought the texture was great, but just all the flavours, it was so overwhelmingly syrupy that I was just like, this is sticky.
Yeah.
And hi, my name's Alicia. I play Tala. And you might remember a couple of episodes ago, Josh made delicious brownies.
God, I did. They were so good.
It was such a delicious large batch that we were like, hey, we'll be smart and freeze some. So I took one out of the freezer today and I'm enjoying it now. And it is just as good as it was a few weeks ago, if not possibly better. I don't even know how he's done it. But it's so good.
We love to see
it.
Today
feels like a brownie day. And I've got a strawberry and lime cider because, you know.
Oh, gotta love it.
So, Tala, why don't you catch us up with what happened last time?
So last time we had gone through the portal in the Blue Hall and had ended up in this hallway full of black orbs. And, you know, we might have drawn the attention of two squid guys and a big fucking aboleth. And of course, you know, we threw down because why wouldn't you? It was a tough fight. I got stunned partway in, so I was just out of action. Skylar was just launching arrows and then ducking into portals. And Bodhi seemed to be doing good. And then suddenly something changed and he was acting really fucking weird. I went and found him through a portal where he got taken, and it was like his bones were coming out of his body and his skin was bubbling. And I tried to help him and he just left me. But he was then unconscious when I got back, so I tried to run away with him. Skylar killed this aboleth while it tried to flee from us, and then all the black holes started to close. So I scooped up Bodhi and we ran back through the portal and made it back underwater. And thank God the breathing spell is still up, so we're okay.
Meanwhile, in a black stone room, supported by great wooden beams, salvaged from vessels lost to the sea, a collection of robed figures mourn the loss of a bastion of their organization and begin the search for the next vessel of their power. So, the three of you have come barreling out of the portal, which is closed behind you. Bodhi is unconscious in Tala's arms. You can all breathe underwater, and the ropes that were here are no longer here.
Amazing.
Is that amazing?
They were magically there to help people find a way, but now there's nowhere for them to go.
Or,
I guess,
someone's down here with us and has moved them.
Either way, Tala is just instantly trying to swim out, back out to the surface.
I love that nervous laugh. I'm like, wow.
Tala's focus at the minute is, hey, Bodhi's unconscious and I need to get him back to Shimmer and Tiny ASAP because I used my healing potion on him already and he is the only healer that we have.
Yeah.
And I don't want to smack him with the rock.
Yeah, it's fair.
Because he's unconscious and that seems just like a bit like bullying.
You begin to swim back through this cave that you are in and you move with Bodhi through the water. The direction of the water doesn't seem to be moving anywhere in particular.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to move up, swim up through the blue hole, and you find the tunnel that you used to enter the blue hole.
Perfect. Go in, go through.
Can I have survival checks, please, from Tala and Skylar?
Dirty 20.
That is a 19.
Beautiful. You are easily able to find the way you came. Skylar, you're able to sort of recognize natural formations and things that you guys move past on the way here. Tala, you are able to just sort of sense the direction that the water is coming from or would go to.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourselves outside of the Last Hope. In the waters around, where it's a little bit warm, and things are generally pretty okay. Everything's really quite calm.
Can I do an insight to see if that is, like, is it unusually calm? Like, does it seem like people are behaving strangely?
You can't really see any people. You're just sort of swimming around the outside of it at the moment.
Maybe I'll do that when I get on land and see if there's any strange behavior.
Mm.
But you, as you're swimming around, you see some fish.
Cool. Yeah, Tala's just gonna head for land and try and get back to the boat.
Yeah, it's easy enough. You're able to get onto land and onto the boat. As you sort of, I guess you'll have to like put Bodhi on the dock side and then pull yourself up.
I mean, I feel like I can put him over my shoulder and climb with him.
Yeah, I guess he's not heavy.
We've recently learned that Bodhi is incredibly short, and I, in my mind, he's just a bit shorter, but you are like half of Tala's size.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
keep yeah. forgetting that you are that little.
He's a little guy.
Like, he's like what, 4 foot?
Less than.
I think I said he was 3 foot 4, 3 foot 5.
Damn.
So small.
You climb up, and actually Tala, as you come out of the water with Bodhi over your shoulder, there are some gasps from people. It's not like there's a lot of people gathered on the dockside or anything.
Sure.
There's people that are like, oh my goodness, did he drown? Like a rather worried human woman kind of rushes forwards.
Oh, no, he's fine. Tala's like covered in wounds and bleeding from places and tentacle marks.
Yeah,
like,
but you're alive.
Yeah, she's alive. No, he's fine. He's just, you know, and she just leaves it very vague.
Mm.
And she looks at you as well then, Tala, and like looks kind of worried at you.
As in, I look like a threat?
No, like concerned on your behalf.
Aww, ooh, nice. Insight. What? Why?
roll an insight check, absolutely.
Is that you're a person who's bleeding, or is it you've got the black spot?
I love the two very different answers. Jazz went, oh, that's sweet. And Alicia went, oh, what's she hiding?
Only because Josh stressed. No, worried about you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. That's a 23.
Ooh.
Her eyes are fixed on the black spot on your leg. Like, you're covered in wounds and bruised and battered. But when she's checking if you're okay, she means, like, specifically, oh, you look like you're cursed.
Oh, I think Tala just looks down at her leg and is just like, oh, I'll be fine, but thank you.
As you've taken Bodhi out of the water, suddenly his skin becomes translucent and slimy.
What do you mean? Can we see his muscles?
You can see Bodhi's sinewy muscles and bones.
I think Tala just like looks at Skylar and just starts to run with him to the boat.
Yeah, thanks so much for your concern. We gotta go, bye.
While you are running with Bodhi.
Does it get worse?
Yes. I feel like it's going to get worse.
In your arms, Tala, there's no way to rationalize it other than you feel him get weaker. And he gets weaker as his skin starts to dry. Bodhi, mark one failed death save.
He needs to get in the water. He needs
Hang
to
on.
Get
yeah,
the water.
I was going to say, are we like near, it's kind of all kind of nearish water.
Your dockside, yeah.
Perfect. Tala's just going to get into
just
the water with
him.
No, she's going to jump into the water with Bodhi in her arms.
Bodhi can still breathe underwater.
Okay.
Which is good.
Yeah, but is that like, oh, that's because his spell's lasting, or is it not?
He's turning into some kind of sea creature, man.
Welcome to our crew.
Does his skin get better as when I get in the water, do I see it improve?
It gets better. It's still translucent and still a bit slimy, but he does not seem to be getting any worse.
Okay, so Tala will probably wait in the water and be like, Skylar, can you go get Shimmer and or Tiny or anyone to come down here? I'm going to keep him in the water.
Okay, and he runs to go and do that.
You parkour your way up the boat, and as you come up like on the non-traditional side for getting onto the boat, the crew kind of get startled generally. Like, a few of them go to their weapons and then they see it's you. And there's a few looks of, we're going to have to get used to that.
That's so good that they went for their weapons though. Good job, crew.
Yeah, they've been listening to their teaching, and they sort of all turn to you. And Skylar, you hear Tiny go, hey Skylar, everything okay?
Something has happened to Bodhi. We're not sure what. He's unconscious and seems to maybe be turning into some kind of aquatic version of himself. We need Shimmer.
Shimmer's head just like pops over the side of the crow's nest.
You.
And they just pull themselves up onto the edge of the crow's nest, squat, and then just leap. Arms stretched and dive off the back of the boat straight into the water.
They live for these moments.
You can see Tala's head is above water in case anyone like looks over the edge, but she's just holding Bodhi like under the water in her arms, just like keeping an eye on him. She keeps trying to talk to him telepathically, knowing that he's unconscious, but she's just like, hey bud, you're okay, we're just gonna get you checked over, if you can hear me, you're all good.
You can't.
And she's just like saying nice things just in case.
Aww.
So Shimmer jumps down, splashes into the water, and then like for the briefest of moments kind of flails a bit when they're in there, and then looks at Bodhi and sort of tilts their head, opens their mouth and says in a language, who speaks Celestial?
Me.
Tala, you hear Shimmer just say, help, in Celestial. And it's like the voice of like a, it's almost like a child saying help, but in Celestial. And a little, like a finch-sized magpie made of light sort of comes out of Shimmer's mouth.
Aww.
And just like rests on Bodhi's shoulder. And over the next minute...
Oh, that's,
very cute.
Bodhi, you are healed for 42.
Oh my goodness.
Fuck.
Wow.
That's better than a bun.
As I wake up, can I breathe?
Bodhi, you wake up and you can in fact breathe.
In the water.
In the water. And the air.
Oh yeah, I think when Tala sees you come conscious, she like cautiously lifts you up out of the water. And she's like, can you breathe up here? Are you okay?
Yeah, I can breathe. I can breathe up here.
Tala just lifts him slightly further out of the water and just watches his skin.
What are you looking at, Tala?
Over the next 10 minutes or so, you watch as Bodhi's skin goes from translucent and slimy to then drying out and getting crustier.
Oh, she puts him back in the water.
You just push him back in.
Like, she's kind of like lifting him slightly out to like his shoulders and his chest to see if it starts to go funny.
And while he is still touching water, his skin remains moist and slimy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tala will just say to Shimmer, like, Bodhi, don't need to be like super concerned, maybe. Shimmer, when we took him fully out of the water before, his skin started to go kind of weird. I don't know if you can like check if, is he like cursed or diseased or something?
Oh, right.
Shimmer is going to sort of look at Bodhi, still tilting their head, processing everything that Tala said.
Is this just my life now? Do I just live under the water, or?
I don't know. Something really weird happened to you. Do you remember the cave?
Do I remember the cave?
You remember the cave, yeah. Tala, before Bodhi can answer that question, however, Shimmer gets real close to Bodhi. Like, Bodhi, Shimmer is like an inch away from you, and you feel their eye like bearing into you. You see there's like galaxies kind of hidden in their iris. And then Shimmer turns to Tala and nods.
Okay, wait, disease?
Nods.
Curse?
Nods.
Oh, shit.
And then pauses and then like tilts head. It seems as though Shimmer doesn't differentiate the difference between diseases and curses.
Tala's like, does he need to stay in the water?
Shimmer just kind of looks at Bodhi and this is just a shrug.
Can I insight that, please?
No, you don't need to. It kind of means Shimmer's not sure.
Cool.
Bodhi, do you want to try coming on the boat? Your skin got really weird and I don't know, you might need to stay in the water. I don't know.
I mean, I'll be entirely honest. My time under the water, no offense to you whatsoever, Tala, but my time under the water for the last couple of hours has not been great. I'd quite like to be back on terra firma.
Okay, Tala just like puts you over her shoulder and just climbs and brings you and kind of like sits you down up on like a barrel on the deck or something.
Sort of sit there for a minute.
And he's like, Shimmer, can you just get like a bucket of water just so we have it just in case?
Shimmer scurries up the side and gets a bucket and throws it down while everyone's just sort of watching on. As Shimmer scurries and brings Bodhi a bucket.
Nothing to worry about. Keep on keeping on, folks. Thank you.
And Nicola, she sort of says, yeah, all right, come on, everyone. Let's get on with these trust act. Who's got the spaghetti? Come on, we can. And like you see, just like at the forecastle, they're like trying to build towers out of spaghetti. Trying to support a little cake that Tiny's obviously made.
Tala just like kneels down in front of Bodhi and is like, something really weird happened in the hallway. Do you know what was like going on?
That bloody Aboleth was in my mind. I couldn't do anything to stop it. I'm sorry. I know that I tried to attack you, and I'm just thankful that
when you mention the Aboleth, Shimmer goes,
yeah, sure. Yeah, bud. Just the same thing that we fought.
Fluff up their feathers.
Oh, I feel you.
Same place too.
Wait, you've already fought Aboleth?
Yeah, Shimmer was with me and Hendy.
My goodness, you folks are you've got a lot of firepower to you, eh?
Starting to see that we should have put that in the advert.
Yeah,
Bodhi, I know that the Aboleth can kind of make you do stuff. It did the same to Hendrix. When I found you, you'd been like sucked through a black hole somewhere. Your skin was like bubbling and your bones looked like they were like trying to escape from you. And it just, that was so weird. Do you know what that was?
I've got to be honest. I don't really want to even think about that right now.
Okay.
It's been a day.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can reconvene and talk about things soon. How's my skin looking, by the way?
Are you still in water or are you without water?
Out of water.
Over the course of 10 minutes, Bodhi's skin gets drier and more cracked.
All right, let me just have a little look at something. Who here's got any moisturizer? No, I'm curious.
Oh.
Quite a few people do put their hands up. The deckhand, Pippi Rosenberger, she puts her hand up. One of the riggers, Matteo Hall, comes down and just sort of gives you like this big tub of just Vaseline. Matteo, gorgeous long like red hair, has a cummerbund across the middle.
So I take the tub of Vaseline and I come over to Bodhi and I'm like, now here, try putting some of this on.
I just put some on my forearm.
You're rubbing Vaseline over already dry skin.
Is it stopping it getting worse? Does it have any effect whatsoever?
It doesn't seem to, no.
Bodhi, maybe just put your foot in the bucket for now.
Oh, fuck's sake. I put my foot in the bucket.
We can make it like a nice little spa.
It's better than how it feels, which is just humiliating.
And Bodhi, when you put your foot in the bucket, you feel the moisture like getting sucked up through you, and your skin starts to get better,
like a sponge.
Does the water decrease in the bucket?
It does, yeah. Just enough to hydrate him, and then like when his skin is nicely translucent and like plump and slimy, the moisture stops decreasing in the bucket quite so much.
Does anybody know what this is? Who's the medic on this boat?
Shimmer lands directly in front of you, Bodhi.
Tala goes to look for Tiny because Shimmer can't necessarily communicate.
Yeah, Tiny comes up the stairs with like a load of buns.
Oh my god.
And like some people like go towards him and they're like, oh, thanks Tiny, and he says, no, these are for the captain, the bosun, and the navigator. And like you guys are given just like a basket of buns.
Nice.
Enough to take you up to half your hit points, basically.
I am now fully healed.
I think Tala like stands up so that she's like with Tiny's height, so kind of slightly away from Bodhi. Just like a little bit out of earshot. She's not being super secretive, but sure. Just almost for like sensitivity. And she just quietly says to Tiny, she's like, so Shimmer nodded when I said curse and or disease. I don't know if you have any kind of magics that can lift that. He seems to be like he needs to be in water. It was an aboleth and some squid creature things. So it's probably some kind of spell curse, I guess.
I mean, I can take a look if you'd like.
Yeah, please. Thank you. And Tala just like starts eating some buns. The blood stops.
So whilst they're having that conversation, Skylar's going to come and like sit next to Bodhi on like a little stool or something, and just kind of lean next to him and be like, you know, you don't need to feel like humiliated by any of this.
Yeah, thank you, Skylar.
But do you believe me?
Nope.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Look, can I just ask, do you folks do this kind of stuff all the time?
Not by choice.
Right.
Mostly out of curiosity, I guess.
Geez, so you're, I mean,
you know,
you folks are the real package, aren't you? You're heroes.
We're not heroes. We're just
people doing good in the world without too much recompense.
Then it'd be real bad to say that we're heroes, no? No, it's not about that. It's just about being in the wrong place at the wrong time, but having the wits to get yourself back out of it. We ain't like, you know, seeing dragons and going like, that'd be neat to go and slay. It's just more like, damn, we're real curious critters. And we keep stumbling into things that our curious asses are just about able to handle.
Yeah.
So don't go like branding us as anything like heroes or anything that's that kind of glorious, because that ain't it. And we've all been in shit like you have right now, you know. Sometimes it might not quite be like turning into some kind of weird amphibian, like, you know, you got quite a unique case of something going on right now, so
yeah. that I do.
Yeah,
hey, thank god dragons aren't real, eh?
Well, we don't know that yet.
As you guys are having this conversation, Tiny will sort of sidle over. He can tell that like it's very nearly like a DMC that you guys are having.
Yeah,
and Tiny's reticent to intervene, but he also does want to do a health check on Bodhi.
Yeah,
and he comes in and he says, "I'm very sorry. Do you mind if I just check on the patient?"
Oh yeah, sure. Sorry.
Okay, and he takes out like a little lollipop stick. Bodhi, can you say ah for me?
Ah.
And he like depresses your tongue. He starts to get quite veterinary about it. Like he starts feeling around in your mouth with his quite big hands. And he's like, well, you're interesting. He just tosses the lollipop stick over the side. He doesn't care about littering, sorry. And then he says, okay, and look at me. And then he like casts light directly in your eyeball.
Your fingers tasted like icing sugar.
That'd be from the cakes.
You see Tala just slightly behind Tiny with just like a mouthful of iced bun.
And he like starts feeling like your pulse and like your lymph node. It's giving you a much more in-depth check than Shimmer did.
Shimmer stared into your soul.
Well, Shimmer came up to you and cast a spell. healed you with one spell and knew that you had a disease with the other one.
Yeah.
And you feel like Shimmer's got a very Animal Kingdom outlook on disease.
I'm here for it.
And Tiny says, and you guys were fighting an Aboleth again.
Uh-huh.
You really should stop doing that.
Hey, but we like shut off all the portals in the temple and we'll explain later.
He looks horrified.
Yeah.
He's like, what the? Anyway, Bodhi, you seem to have contracted a disease.
Brilliant.
A curse-like disease.
Is there a salve, a pill I have to take?
There is. So I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is the salve you will have to take is water. Every 10 minutes for the rest of your life.
Whoa, can we lift this?
The bad news is that there is a way to cure it, but it's either going to be real expensive, or one of you is going to have to specialize in healing magics to a degree that neither myself nor Shimmer nor the captain can quite muster.
The captain?
Oh, shit. sorry. The pad. Sorry. Force of habit. I'm so sorry. Oh, hello. Welcome aboard. Are you all right? You seem a little poorly. This place? It's the middle bit. It's where I, Josh, speak to you, the listener, about all sorts of real-world goodness. Now, don't worry. There are no shocking revelations here, and we have the best medical care around. Relax, and I think you should help yourself to a zingy Zinfandel. First, let me tell you about Chaz Grimm, who you may well know as Boggle Snaggletooth, the half-orc barbarian carpenter from our collab episode. Well, actually, you might have heard us mention Chaz before in the middle bit, as he's one of our longest and most staunch supporters. Did you know that for the low, low price of $5, you can have Chaz write you a detailed backstory for any character you want? That's right, not only is Chaz one of the nicest people on this earth, he's also wickedly creative, and you can find him at Chaz_Grim on Twitter. Make sure you say hi, give him a follow, tell him Dyson a Slice sent you, but mostly get that backstory for yourself and your characters. Second, Cut from the Chronicles, an EU/UK-based 2E Pathfinder podcast. But don't let me tell you about it. Why not have a listen to their trailer?
The Pathfinder Chronicles are the legends of our age. Heroic epics that tell of inspirational acts of courage and duty. The people we celebrate in the Chronicles are shining examples to us all. But for all the scrolls in the archives, scarce few circulate beyond those walls. Not because they are any less heroic, but because they are not to be emulated. Listen well to a cautionary tale cut from the Chronicles.
Are you bored of the same old podcasts?
This ain't your goddamn 5e.
Do you want something new and innovative?
I'm guessing I don't have the formula for a papoose.
Spiderweb papoose.
Played by a group of professional cast members.
I have to try and remember stats for loads of... I don't have even one character to remember how they work, you know?
I don't even know how my one character works.
Stories filled with epic adventures.
Funny that we're not paying for fuck all. We're getting some free chips and a bed. That's what's happening.
And brave, heroic deeds.
Please kill it. I'm very, very tired.
Deep, meaningful character development.
I don't want to return an abject failure.
So you're just never going to go home then?
GMing of the highest standard.
Rage fills, live limb, fire strike, kill, fight
sorry, that's
hard.
That's just 6 seconds up.
Then subscribe for all of this and more.
I'm deeply uncomfortable, but it feels like I'm down here forever, and I'm not sure that I'm not in hell.
Cut from the Chronicles, a Pathfinder 2nd Edition actual play, coming October 10th.
When I retell this story, I may change some of the details.
Join Tarach, Gastro, Yoren, and Jiong as they bumble through the Year of the Open Road. Find them at CFT Chronicles on Twitter and on the podcatcher of your choice with the Cut from the Chronicles team. And finally, you meet in a tavern, you die in a dungeon. A basic concept, but a brilliant game created by the incredibly witty Ursa Dice, creator of The Court of the Lich Queen, Krampus on Campus, and The Depths of This Forest. You meet in a tavern, you die in a dungeon is a procedurally generated dungeon crawler designed for quick sessions with zero prep to suit any game night. Catch the trailer for this game featuring some familiar faces on their Kickstarter by searching for You Meet in a Tavern, You Die in a Dungeon. And hey, make sure you follow Ursa Dice on Twitter as well, at URSIDICE, Ursa Dice. And hey, while you're online, why not keep your eyes peeled for our socials at Dice and a Slice on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where you can find pictures of slices and also dices, dice, as well as links to our Discord and Ko-Fi if you feel so inclined to toss us a fiver. Well, that's all from me. All that remains is to thank Benjamin and Rooney for their continued support over Ko-Fi, and to thank all of you for listening and for your kind reviews on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podchaser. And of course, I have to thank the wickedly talented Alicia, who is the raising agent in the cake batter that makes our podcast. And now, back to the action. One of you is gonna have to specialize in healing magics to a degree that neither myself, nor Shimmer, nor the captain can quite muster.
The captain?
Oh, shit. Force of habit. I'm so sorry.
It's all good.
He looks really embarrassed again.
It's okay. I had a salve that I had once that cured stuff like this. So we just need to find a shop that sells it.
Okay.
When I say not within our powers, I mean you need a very experienced and powerful healer.
Yeah. Oof. Is there anyone like that at the Last Hope?
I've got to be honest. I thought there was good and bad news. That feels like two doses of very bad news.
What element of that was the good news? Just
he won't die imminently, and we know what it is.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just saying, sugarcoat your bad news like you sugarcoat your fingers. How about that? It might make it much easier to go down.
he looks like he's doing some mind stretching maths in his head with the sentence that you just used.
Okay.
So mechanically, for every 10 minutes that you are outside of a body of water, you are going to take 1d12 acid damage.
Wow.
Shit.
Okay, cool.
But you can breathe underwater.
That's cool.
So, you know.
Okay, how about this? We get like a water balloon patch and attach it to you somehow.
Like, do you remember the conversation we were having earlier?
Yeah.
About not wanting to be embarrassed, yeah.
About not wanting to feel shame.
This isn't shameful. It's just like a bandage. Like, we could package it, right?
Yeah.
Does anyone on the crew answer about knowing a good healer at the Last Hope? Just need someone with greater restoration, that's all.
There's
we
people
need.
Scratching their heads.
Am I terrified by the knowledge of my past right now?
What the fuck does that mean?
Like the toad.
To be honest, Skylar, you know that the toad is a very powerful healer.
Yeah, that's what I was worrying about.
Tala, do you say need someone who can cast greater restoration?
Is that too meta? I feel like Tala would have been with people who've been hurt a lot, so I feel like that's of all the spells.
You know about clerical healing magic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, then Tala would just say that any healer's capable of that kind of spell.
Tiny breathes in through his teeth. He's like, in that, like, it's going to take a few months to get the parts kind of breath. He's like, it's going to be more than that.
Oh, really?
You need a spell better than greater restoration.
What, heal?
Maybe heal.
Oh, shit. That's a big job.
So mechanically, that means you guys need to find a caster who can do sixth level healing magic.
You got a big curse, baby.
Baby.
All right. Well, look at it this way. So I know someone who might be able to do that.
Really,
Skylar? Tala kind of squints at Skylar because she knows that that Skylar's only really ever lived in Oasis, and she's mostly been with Skylar since then. So she kind of squints, feeling like, is this someone from back home? Because she knows that Skylar has a very difficult kind of relationship with where he's from.
So where I came from originally, he kind of explains to Bodhi, I grew up in a old elven city that had kind of fallen apart called Oasis. Part of the reason why people were living there, even though it was all sort of dilapidated and fallen apart, was because we lived under the influence of a prophet.
Right.
It was a kind of bastardization of the Yawl religion. I guess you could probably, if you didn't buy into him being a prophet, I'd say maybe a shaman.
Okay.
Witch doctor type. Part of the reason why we, and when I say we, I mean my society, embraced him the way that we did, was because of just the miracles he could perform.
Miracles.
I was wanting to go back there to get my family out. So we might as well do two birds with one stone.
Yeah. If you're comfortable going back, I mean, that was kind of where I figured we would head next, because I know that you've got stuff there that you want us to help with. And if we can go there and also get some help for Bodhi, then that can be next on our stop.
What do you think?
I mean, if you're sure you're okay with, you know, going back to this person, the gods know that exploitative help is not help. And I don't want you to bend to the whims of someone who has wronged you. I don't want that at all.
Thank you. But if it can even just provide like a sort of temporary stopgap. I was wanting to go back there anyway to get my folks out. Might as well take the last of what the man has to offer. Oh, just by the way, just so you're not shocked on the day, he's a toad.
What, just like?
Like a person toad.
Oh, right. So not like the cat that you interviewed for the position that I got.
No.
Tiny then says, wait, that actually happened?
Yes, yeah. I told you.
I thought you were all just taking the piss out of Pad.
We didn't interview Pad because otherwise he wouldn't have made it on.
Oh. One of the crew just like turns, in fact, it's Pippi Rosenberger, the human deckhand, she just turns and goes, savage! It's fucking savage. I love it.
Look, what it means is that we can get away from the last hope and all of the last, like, the things that have happened here. We can kind of get out on the open waters and breathe for a moment. It also means that we are surrounded by water, so you ain't gonna have any problems.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll figure out some kind of bandage water balloon system.
Yeah. Do you want to manufacture that for yourself, or I'm sure we could find someone on the crew? I don't know what you'd rather.
I mean, yeah, Beavis.
That's exactly who Tala was thinking, but she didn't want it to be embarrassing for Bodhi to be like, hey, can you make Bodhi like a little water sling?
Like a little water boot.
Beavis, can you bring some iron ore and just a bit of wood into my cabin for me, if that's all right?
He looks at you and he's just like hefting like a huge amount of sail, just like turns, drops it, nearly crushes someone.
Oh, Beavis, just remember, look before we drop, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks.
I'll just go get that for you. Goes to the little trap door, kicks it open with his toe, grabs the ladder. It's like one hand slides down. He's quite a big guy, so like he tries to coolly slide down, but his shoulders kind of brush against it.
Oh, Beavis!
Head comes up over the trap door, turns.
A bit of the treated sail cloth as well would be fantastic. Just enough for me, you know, measurements and that. That'll do.
Like enough if we were to embalm you, for example.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, gods. That was fucking dark. What do we want to do now?
We're gonna go to Oasis and get you fixed.
Well, and get your family.
Yeah, but mostly we're gonna get you so you ain't drying up like a crisp or needing to have a water balloon attached to you at all times.
Yeah, well.
Because I have the feeling that at night this is gonna get quite interesting.
Yeah, well.
I guess you're gonna have to have a bath that you sleep in.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Oh, God. You can kind of see the stress of the day start to kind of break through a little bit, and everything that Bodhi's saying, there's just like a you can fully see the whites of his eyes all the way around, basically. Is that kind of Rictus grin kind of, yeah, okay, okay. Yeah.
Look, maybe, you know, we can have a sleep and we'll talk tomorrow about today, and there is some stuff that Skylar and I can kind of fill you in on.
For sure.
That might help make today kind of make sense.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done, folks. And that goes for all of you. You can see kind of the levels of adrenaline going very high. That goes for all of you, everyone on the ship. Well fucking done. You've done brilliantly. Keep on what you're doing.
All right, come on, Bodhi. Why don't you go down your room?
Yeah.
Go chill out for a little bit and we'll bring you some food. Just kind of take a moment, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
And he kind of gently claps him on the shoulder. And then he kind of grips his shoulder a little bit.
He's very slimy.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to care.
Oh.
Yep. Listen to me. You're going to be all right. This is just going to be a rough couple of weeks, but you'll get through it, all right?
And hey, if you need me, I'll just be in the bath.
Oh. There's worse things than water, you know? You just took to it so well, you know?
Oh, yeah. Just out of interest, does anyone here know create or destroy water? Just the spell.
I can make a wall of water if you desperately need it at some point.
Oh, that's fine. That's okay.
I want to roll insight on Bodhi.
Oh, yeah, you can roll insight on Bodhi.
17.
Yeah, in all honesty, I think having someone inside your mind is, funnily enough, not very nice. Having someone in control of your body feels weird. And I think Bodhi is fully, as much as he's got this kind of jovial out exterior, but he's still keeping up. He's still maintaining that kind of level of lightness despite the mania that's happening. Mm-hmm. You can kind of see a grit to Bodhi. His motive is to get working and to get his body working and his mind working and start working on a project of some sort in order to kind of keep going. It's that kind of, you can see in his, I don't know how you see all of that.
Well, also remember that Skylar has come from a cult.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like, oof, yeah. I've been there. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah, I will say that you can definitely see the kind of there's a switch in his eyes as he starts to, like, he claps his hands, he kind of gets up, starts to shuffle the bucket along with his foot.
You got 10 minutes without it.
That's a point. You can see the resolve to keep moving, keep going. Mm. Life's not terrible. You've got this. Let's go.
Mm. So Skylar kind of watches him go and is like, he wants to go and talk to him more again because he kind of, he relates a lot, even though it's something very different to what he went through. He's like, I want to reach out and find out and ask and stuff. But he's also like, I'm aware that he has gone through a lot and that sometimes getting asked a bunch of questions, you're just going to want to keep shoring yourself up rather than letting yourself break down. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to break down to be able to rebuild. And so he's kind of like, okay, I'm just going to let him go do that. And then I will talk to him maybe in like a couple of hours after he's kind of screamed and punched a wall.
Yeah. And fixed it.
And fixed it.
Yeah. Started making his little pouch.
Yeah. He's just kind of like, there's more conversation to be had. But it's not now.
Yeah.
So Bodhi, as you walk away from that conversation with Skylar, is that when you say, does anyone know create or destroy water?
Yeah.
You just hear Shimmer above just go, and just splashes on you.
Brilliant. Thank you.
I mean, you did ask, yeah.
I did. Brilliant.
What's bizarre is that I now know that Shimmer is the personification of the impulsive side of my ADHD.
Yeah. Shimmer is your goblin energy.
I pick up the bucket. I start walking down to my room, thinking about what happened in that room when Tala found me. And I think the first thing that I do before anything else is I find as much of the kind of leftover like bric-a-brac wood and metal that I can find and start to make something on the door of my room using fabricate, obviously. I take out a small kind of slot from the door, enough to be able to see through. I put a bit of metal on the outside of my door and it shines on a reflective surface. And on the outside of the door, I put a bar.
Oh, on the outside of the door?
On the outside of the door, I put a bar. Use it a couple of times and sort of look outside, use my mage hand to kind of lift the bar,
okay.
Open the door, use it to put down the bar, try to open the door and make sure that it doesn't open from the inside. And I kind of, as long as I'm happy with that, I kind of nod to myself and start to cast. No, I don't. I start to short rest so that in an hour's time, I can cast Mordenkainen's Private Sanctum on the space inside my room.
Okay.
A little safe house.
So over the sort of hour and 20 minutes that Bodhi spends on his own, what are Skylar and Tala doing?
Skylar is going to go up into the crow's nest and he is going to continue his carvings.
Okay.
Tala really wants to check in with Nicola and see Nicola, how the ship has been and how the crew have been and just kind of have a chat with her.
Sure. Skylar, you go up into the crow's nest. What are you carving into your little... a carved tapestry, I guess.
Yeah, so parts of what he's done have been like old folk stories and, you know, memories and stuff of Oasis. Now he's starting to carve desires.
Ooh.
So instead of things that have happened, they're things that he wants to come true.
Okay, cool. What kind of things are you carving in?
So it's, again, it's kind of quite Greek sort of style of carving. That's how, sure, I kind of see it. Quite blocky.
Yeah.
Very kind of like hieroglyphs almost, but then with like a Celtic swirl to it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So he's carving the toad and arrows flying.
Towards the toad?
Yeah, towards the toad, but also from the toad. Ooh. As well. Both ways.
Okay.
Like it's not a quick, clean assassination. It's a full-out war.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And people running and getting away, boats, a lot of, like, arches of trees as well to symbolise, like, the sort of runways through the trees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the deer tracks and stuff.
Yeah, rabbit runs and so forth.
Very cool.
So all of the rabbit runs and stuff are in the top and the bottom balustrade of the railing. So he's kind of taken like maybe a section of about three spindles.
Yeah.
On the top and the bottom, he's got like people running through forests and going to water. Like forest at the top, water at the bottom.
Okay.
And then on the on the middle spindle is the toad, sort of like arms spread looking upwards. And then on the outer two spindles is arrows flying and kind of spinning round the spindle.
Yeah, really cool. You do that and you sort of spend, I imagine you spend most of the rest of the day doing that.
Yeah.
Actually, sort of diligently carving.
He's putting an image to his will.
Tala, you go to speak to Nicola Rosin.
Yeah.
Who is, when you find her, she's sort of standing over Lina Baldbrace and Tenon T-Mouse and seems to be like, standing over these two halflings as they're doing a press-up competition.
Sure.
She looks bemused.
Yeah, I think Tala would probably just stand next to her and let the competition finish. She's not going to interrupt.
Okay.
That would be rude.
As soon as Tala arrives, you watch and like you can see that Tenon's like form isn't very good. And Nicola, like, corrects Tenon's posture.
Mm-hmm.
Lina Baldbrace is much like Bodhi with regards to, like, his physique. Like, he's a short halfling. He's got sinewy arms. They're covered in tattoos. Mm-hmm. He'd tell you that they're stories of his sailing days.
Mm-hmm.
While Tenon just looks younger, even by halfling standards.
Yeah.
And seems to be wearing like a human's admiral coat and wears human's boots.
Cute.
Because halflings have got big feet, so they need human-sized footwear, but like these boots that would come up to be to an ankle on a human, like come up to his knee, their knee, sorry.
Yeah.
And the thing about Tenon is that they don't look burly and buff.
Mm-hmm.
And Lina just absolutely creams Tenon in this.
Aww.
once Tenon has to take the proper push-up position, they manage like three push-ups and then collapse. While Lina is like doing two arms and then does to one arm, and at one point it looks like Lina is going to swap to doing no armed push-ups, which would be impossible, but instead goes back to two and starts clapping between them.
Sure.
Really showing off, actually.
Tala just crouches down next to Tenon and just gives them like an exercise to do to like build arm strength. This is, unfortunately, Alicia cannot roleplay this because Alicia has no knowledge of how best to do a press up.
That's fine.
But Tala's just like, hey, go find one of these, like something to lift. And it's like, and you curl your arm like this. And hey, when you're doing press ups, the best thing. And then she gives them like a key hint on how to do press ups. You know, like when you stand on one leg and then someone tells you, if you put your hand out and imagine there's a table there, it's easier to balance. And you're suddenly like, oh my God,
yeah,
it is easier to balance. She drops one of those great hints that Alicia doesn't have, but Tala definitely would.
It's like how if you always want to do a successful high five, look at the other person's elbow.
Yes.
Yeah, one of those absolute just little sneaky hints she just gives to Tenon.
And Tenon says, Thank you very much. That's very kind of you to show me how to do that. I'll be good. I promise. I'll be rough. I'll be tough.
Aww. Great. Well, you know, maybe we can spar someday down in the training area.
Oh, you won't be ready. You won't be ready.
Oh, Tala's just heart feels so warm because they've, like, Tenon has the same tenacity that she remembers the kids of the king having.
Oh.
And it's just a real similar, like, stab in the gut.
What I will say is, you know that Tenon is not a child.
I know that Tenon is not a child, okay. But that tenacity and that, like, competitive, you won't beat me. As much as they're not a child, they still have that energy about them. So Tala just kind of is like, oh, that hurts. And it's like, hey, great, can't wait.
You see Tenon practicing the maneuver without anything and then goes off and tries to find something below deck.
That's cute, like a tin of beans.
Yeah, like a tin of beans or something, or just a bean perhaps.
Yeah.
And Lina says, oh, they'll be all right. They're pretty good. Got more brains than I do, but you don't need to think when you can fight your way out of a situation, you know.
Ooh, I would have to disagree. I think a good brain can save
You would. It's your job to take a contrary position to me in order so I may better myself.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that's great. You and Tenon can learn from each other. Share the brains and the brawn.
I reckon Tenon's knot work is probably better than mine, but I can hoist. I reckon. And Lina takes a step back and looks at his lap. I reckon I can hoist you.
We love a powerful short king.
Okay. I mean, not right now, but maybe on a quiet day.
Well, no, it's not appropriate. We're not at sea. You wouldn't hoist a sail.
Yeah,
that's
why it's inappropriate. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think she kind of just, like, turns to Nicola as if to be like, I'll leave you, Lina, to whatever you're doing, bud.
Lina looked like he was forming a thought to express with his mouth, but you turn and he's just like, am I dismissed?
Oh, of course.
Thank you, Captain.
As in, Tala doesn't feel like she needs to dismiss people. She's just like, what? What do you mean? Are you dismissed?
Lina just, like, breaks off in, like, a perfect, in, like, the athletically perfect jog.
Sure.
Like the scientifically perfect arm and leg movement, perfect posture.
Yeah.
There's something about Lina that's like, well, this is the perfect specimen of a halfling, like,
yeah,
physically in the top 5%.
Damn.
Well, congratulations to us. We got Tom Cruise on our ship.
Yeah. Yeah. Sala just turns to Nicola and is just like, so how has today been?
Trying. It's been trying.
Trying in what way?
In the sense of trying to get a lot of people who've never worked together to learn to trust each other and sort of learn to like each other.
Sure.
Already I'm seeing there are some sort of pseudo-factions forming within the ranks. I'll be making sure to keep a conversation going with Tardon and Beefus to make sure that the deck rigging and standing officers don't all fall about. We can't have a mutiny among us now, can we?
Oh, definitely not. No.
Tardon, can you roll me a charisma check?
What kind?
Just charisma.
Oh, no. Why? That's an 18.
Nicola says, well, look, they're a good group. You've chosen our nice selection and they generally are pretty amicable. I'm sure we can have them as a firm crew amongst each other.
Okay.
The crew's morale has improved.
Aww. Oh. Well, if there is anyone who stands out or you think might need more support or maybe just a talking to, you just keep me in the loop.
I absolutely will. Thank you, Captain. Will there be anything else today?
If you could get the crew ready, I think we're going to try and set sail tonight, if we can.
She puts on a big smile and says, jolly good, bravo.
Tala kind of nods like, yeah, I made a good captain decision. This is what captains do.
And sort of starts to bring her hand up to salute you and then kind of tries to ascertain whether that's the vibe. And the hand just kind of comes back down.
Tala just like shakes her head and just like nods to Nicola as if like a nod is fine. You don't need to salute me.
She puts her hands in front of herself and just bows slightly with the shoulders. As you will. And turns after Lina. Nicola does not run.
No, absolutely not. Wouldn't expect her to.
But strides off towards Lina, who is like practicing boxing against a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
A few hours pass. Bodhi builds his thing. Skylar does his carving. Tala sort of integrates with the crew.
Yeah.
And sort of gets to know everyone a little bit. And before long, the sun is beginning to caress the horizon line as the crew for the Sakaelia prepare for their first disembarkment. As they unfurl the sails and the breeze catches the waxed tarpaulin, you hear the first mate, Nicola Rosenhaar, cry out, all hands to deck, make sail! And the boat leaves the dock, heading towards the Hopeless Reef and the briny blue beyond. And that is where we're going to pick up next time.
Yeah!
Will the crew of the Sekhylia have an uneventful journey? How are they going to cure Bodhi's curse? And what will our heroes face upon the briny blue? Well, you're going to have to find out next time on Dice and a Slice.
I'll just let that motorbike roll past. Okay, there we go. Sorry. Dragon over here, you know. Keep it down. I'm having a moment.
Roar, sorry.
Roar.
That's better. At least he has manners.